thought about the Magi traveling on a journey that would take months in the search for this king. Not an ordinary king. Not an ordinary king of that time that seems to not last very long on a throne. But one who would change the whole world. The first thing that springs to mind to me anyway was, how did they know about this king? How did they know? Well, we have to go back into the Old Testament. No, I'm not going back into the Old Testament. Take my word for it. But this is in the Old Testament when the Jewish nation had been carted off into slavery into Persia. They were in exile. It's as if they weren't badly treated, because the Persians wanted all that was good from the Jews, all that they could make, all that they could add to their particular way of life. And I thought, I wonder how they picked them out. Can you imagine the taskmasters waiting to, and they've been given notice in their heads, we don't want no people that we don't want. Right, okay, boss. So they'd take the fit men and the fit women, and if the children were strong, they could come along as well. They would take the clever, the scribes, the Pharisees, all those that had this knowledge, because the Persians were very clever people at that time. What about the old and infirm? Well, I'm sorry, we didn't stand a chance. The sick and the weak, all those who could be a burden to Persia and would not give anything back. Well, it was a case of sort yourself out. You're stopping here. The scholars of the Jews would take all their records. They'd take all the writings from many years before. Precious writings. I was watching something about Windsor Castle, because I like things like that. I am a royalist. And I was being told by this lady and gentleman that the archives of royalty were in the Round Tower. And I thought, oh, I'd love to be able to go and go through all those writings and readings. Well, the writings and readings of the Jews at that time were precious to them, so precious, they took them with them. And it was the history of this captured people. They would read of, you know, Israel's God, didn't understand it, but they'd read about him, and the amazing promise of one who would one day be God's chosen. All through the Old Testament scriptures is the Almighty's promise to his people. But let's go back to the Magi. No one knows how many people were travelling from what scholars believe was Babylon on a great journey that would lead them to Jerusalem. And why had they come? Now, I don't know about conjunctions of stars. If anybody does know, please let me know. But apparently there were conjunctions of planets about this time when the star appeared. So it was a special, we have special events, don't we? We have meteorites that go through, and then we're told they'll come round again in about 800 years. So that's no good to us, but at least we've seen it go past. And so we've got them. They've got the planets in conjunction, and it said there was a rising star, one that hadn't been around before. This was a special star. And why shouldn't God have a special star for his special son? They expected this king to be born in a palace. So they went there and met Herod. Not a good idea, that. We've come, they told Herod, to give our gifts to the new king of the Jews. And we followed his star and have come to worship him. Well, Herod must have noticed that these guys, they were dressed in rather rich clothes. Even if they were just magi, they would have good clothes with good cloths. The many who travelled with them to cater for the needs, it wasn't just three men like we see on the Christmas cards. Because there would be a caravan of people. They would have people to cook food for them, make sure the camels were all right, and the portable shelters. Now, one thing I do know about deserts, because I've been in a Bedouin tent, a proper one, not one made up just for me, is that they are very hospitable. And if I, which I wasn't, of course, if I didn't have any water in the desert and I'm crawling to their tent door, they would look after me. They are very, very kind to the stranger. So they've got all this, and you know, it's been estimated that it took 12 months to go to Jerusalem and then go back to Babylon. So it's a year out of their lives, and they would travel by desert because they were a desert people. What did they do when they got to Bethlehem? What was their response? They were filled with joy. They were filled with worship. And they had their gifts. About a fort, I think it must be a fortnight ago now. I don't know whether any of you saw it, but there were two people from the television that did the same journey. Mind you, they were in a Land Rover. But they did have to camel ride just a little way, because there was no way the Land Rover could go. They liked the Land Rover, but they weren't keen on the camels. But they went the same route. And it wouldn't take 12 months because they had a Land Rover. And they would have other things as well. Many today believe, you know, that God should come to them. Not that they should do anything to go to God and ask him and pray to him and seek him. What's wrong with the world? It's going mad. And yet they're not going to the one who can put it right. So sad. God should come to me. But doesn't Christ stand at the door and knock? You see, we can't gate crash. We can't gate crash that door. When Jesus stands at the door and knocks, he won't just push it down. He waits for us to open the door. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it always will be. He waits for you and me to speak to him and invite him into our lives. Many expect that God should come looking for us, explain who he is, and then prove it. And then, of course, and what's in it for me? This still happens, doesn't it? But for those who recognize their need of Christ, the Savior, the voice of the Lord, come to me. The acceptance of knowing that we are in the keeping of God's beloved Son. Many years ago, and it is a long time ago, we had a Bible class, like you have here at Ashton. And the Bible class, we all went down London on the train, because I said, we'll go to the museum, the big museum in London, because I want to find out if they've got any of the bricks that the Jews had to make without straw. And we went there, and it was interesting. But when we came out, we did something that wasn't planned. We went to a planetarium. I've never been to one before, and I've never been to one since. But we sat in these seats and looked up, and they showed us the heavens as they are. We can't see them because of all the rubbish that's in the air. But we were amazed. And when I thought about this, these men looking for one star in the middle of all that lot, how did they do it? But God was there. It was the rising of a special star. We've come to worship him, they said to Herod. And Herod went into panic mode. And it says, all Jerusalem as well. Because if he's not happy, they're not going to be happy. You have that with tyrants, don't you? When there are tyrants, that's what happens. If they're not happy, you suffer. But when we think about it, he didn't know about Jewish history because he was an Idumean, and he didn't know. And so he had to send for those that did know. And they said, oh, yes, it's right. Yes, there is going to be this king born. Where's he going to be born? Bethlehem. Oh, right. Now, he knew what he was going to do. I mean, he was no stranger to killing people. He killed some of his own children. And he'd also killed his first wife, Mariamne. So he's a bit of a, tyrant. But it's this slimy thing, he says to the kings. You go and find the child. Then come back. Tell me where he is that I might worship him. Sounds all right. Let's not forget God's holy angels in all this. Because I'm amazed at these angels. The first one comes to Mary and has a talk with her and leaves her with a message that should have knocked her flat. Well, I can't, you see, because. No, never mind about that, it's God. You see, we forget God. When we pray to him, we forget that he can where we can't. And we have to keep going that way. So one angel comes to Mary. Then we've got one angel that comes to Joseph and says, it's all right, marry, it's okay. God knows what he's doing. You do that. And even though he was going to do it very quietly, without fuss, he said, okay. And then we've got the shepherds. One angel came, and then they must have dropped cork-legged when the whole host, I would love to have seen that. The whole host of heaven. One day we will. In a dream, the Magi are warned, don't go back to Herod. And it said they go another way. I wonder how many miles out of their route it took them to go another way. But they went. And then, of course, sometimes it's not comfortable, is it, when we love God? because bad things happen in our lives. An angel appears to Joseph and says, you better pack up. Pack up because you're leaving for Egypt. What would you and I have done that night? To be told, leave your house. Notice, they've now got a house. Leave your friends, leave your neighbours. Joseph, you might have made a nice little business. But don't worry, because you've got to leave it. You're off to Egypt. You see, the life of Jesus was in peril at such a tiny little baby age. Finding Jesus does mean, doesn't it, how we believed our lives were mapped out. And then suddenly they go in a different direction. I'm sure all of us here have had that. When we set off down a path and all of a sudden we have to turn left. Don't know why, but we do. It's not easy, is it? When we think about it, we can perhaps remember, we can remember that day when we took the Lord as our Saviour. What was it like? I know what it was like for me. First thing that happened, my best friend told me never to come to their house again. It would take about 8 years before Pauline said, I need your help. And then there was trouble at home. And I thought, you know. But we've got to expect things happening when Jesus calls you. Through all these stages, especially in Joseph's life, we find a very ordinary, hard-working man chosen by God himself to be the protector of his son. A tiny infant, unable, like all babies, unable to look after themselves. One great lesson comes from Joseph's divine guidance. Because it comes to a heart that's prepared to allow God to guide them. Sometimes we kick against the pricks, don't we, sometimes? I don't want to do that, Lord. And he keeps saying, well, you're going to do it. And if there's anyone here this morning that's in a quandary about God wanting you to do something and you're not sure, then keep on at it, because it will come out all right. Joseph remained at full attention to receive God's guidance, and so have we. How would you and me have reacted if our husband or our wife suddenly shook us in the middle of the night and said, come on, pack a few things, essentials, we're off. We need to go to Egypt. All right. Just think about that. If it happened in Failsworth, if it happened in Denton and Ashton and wherever we've come from originally. And we've got to go now. It was not unusual for Jewish people to go to Egypt. And there were established places in Egypt from way back when in the Old Testament. The angel said, you must stay there until I tell you. I mean, you don't argue with an angel, do you? You will stay there till I tell you. I've not been on the Goshen Heights where the Jews did stay from Jacob's time to up to Mary and Joseph's time, because there was a the Americans there were trying to uncover one of their holy places, a synagogue. And I was asked if I'd like to go and have a look inside. I couldn't make out much of it because the Romans had built on top of it. But they were very clever about it. One of the main things for all of us, though, this morning, finally, is that no matter what challenges lie before us in life, we stay obedient to the Lord. In the Old Testament, we have more wonderful words. I always think of those words from Ruth. When a mother says, go back to your own country. Go back to your own country. And Ruth says, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die there. Almighty God knows how to choose those who will serve him. Ruth, this foreigner from Moab, would come an ancestor of our Lord Jesus. Nobody would have chosen her. She was a foreigner. Even when we don't know where God will lead this church or any one of us, let's carry on trusting and praying and loving each other with the full knowledge our Saviour still is the way, the truth and the life. We won't get lost because he is the way. We won't misunderstand, for the Lord is truth and Christ is life as we never knew it. So let us hold on tight to our Saviour throughout 2024 and be glad that he never leaves us on our own. Amen.